I do I greatly stand in need of your prayers tonight. Hope you'll be praying for me and for one another during the time that we stand here. And I'm going to make this at least somewhat simple tonight, I hope, and take a look at some things. This morning we talked about the fact that there's a portion of Scripture. I'll not repeat all those things. Y'all go find it somewhere and listen to it if you need to catch up. But what I did was go into a portion of Scripture, 5th chapter of the book of Matthew, and use that basically as a text sermon to say that when Jesus was preaching on the Sermon on the Mount, he said, "Think not that I am come to destroy the law or the prophets. I am not come to destroy, but to fulfill. For I verily I say unto you, till heaven and earth pass, one jot or one tittle shall in no wise pass from the law, till all be fulfilled." This morning as we were talking about that, basically dialed back over in my mind what some of the things that I think about when I think about the law. There's a lot of things. We could no doubt make a steadfast argument if we looked at the law as being the Ten Commandments. He definitely kept the Ten Commandments. He had no God other than the God the Father, that every action, every word that he made, he was came from him. No stealing, no killing, no all those things, you know. But I don't think that was what he had in mind when in this portion of Scripture, as he was saying that. He was saying that as we go back and look at that Old Testament law, if just like you've always heard, you know, you hear people say, "Well, every book of the Bible, there's Christ in there. All you've got to do is look for it." Well, all you've got to do in the law is look for it. You'll find Christ over there as being the fulfillment of those things that are laid out, the ultimate fulfillment. So God gave laws to His people to help them find order, and so they would find some order for their society. So there would be necessary repayments that needed to be made, and to try to put things in proper order for debts and other things that needed to be placed. That we talked about this morning, there were things that needed to be done. He wanted them to have festivals or feasts where they would come before Him. It was, in fact, the Bible says those were the feasts of the Lord. They weren't just the people's feasts, they were God's feasts.
Right.
And in that, they were celebrating and recognizing that Christ was the ultimate Passover. Christ was that unleavened bread that they celebrated in a week-long feast. Christ was the first fruits of them that slept when He came forth from the tomb. He did make atonement for you and I.
Right.
And one of these days, no doubt, we're going to hear the trumpet sound, and the real day of trumpets will really occur, and finally we will tabernacle with Him through all eternity. Christ is the fulfillment of all of those things. But what I would like to do tonight for just a little bit is I want to turn over to the 25th chapter of the book of Leviticus. Leviticus, I always say, you know, Leviticus is dangerous anytime. But at nighttime, reading from Leviticus is probably really dangerous. So all y'all perk up. But we're going to turn over to the 25th chapter of the book of Leviticus. There's a lot of laws in here about redemption. I want to look over at one portion of this, which I think fits very well with where you and I fall into this. He makes this comment, verse 47, Leviticus 20:25. He says, "If a sojourner or a stranger wax rich by thee, and thy brother that dwell by him wax poor," he says, "and sell himself unto the stranger or the sojourner by thee, or to the stock of the stranger's, or to the stock of the stranger's family. After that he is sold, he may be redeemed again." In other words, he can get himself out of this debt. You think about what it means to redeem something. There's a couple of laws of redemption, I think, that we have to think about. And one of them is the fact, I can only redeem something that belonged to me to start with.
Amen.
I can go purchase something. You know, if I take something down to the pawn shop, other people may come in there and buy what I put in the pawn shop, but I'm the only one that can redeem it.
Right.
Because it belonged to me. And so he's saying here that there are the laws that God laid out for redemption. And I'm going to say it exactly that way. God laid out laws for redemption where he says, it can be redeemed again. If you find yourself in a situation, you get sold into debt to this person that's a sojourner or a stranger in your land, or whatever, he says, he may be redeemed again. One of his brethren may redeem him. Either his uncle or his uncle's son. Now, again, I think I said this morning, but I'll repeat it this way. The law is a shadow of good things to come. It's a schoolmaster. It is not an exact copy of what Christ accomplished, okay? But it has enough in there for those that are looking for it that you can see Christ in there, okay? So he says, in this case, he's dealing with people who have gotten into debt. And he says, he can be redeemed again. His brethren can redeem him. Either his uncle or his uncle's son may redeem him, or any that is nigh kin unto him of his family may redeem him, or he is able, or if he is able, he may redeem himself. And ultimately, as we look at this today and think about the kind of debt that you and I are in, you know, a lot of us are sitting here this morning saying, "Well, Brother Charles, what kind of debt are you in?" I'm in a terrible debt situation, and that is the fact that I'm a sinner.
Amen.
And the party that's owed for my sin is my Heavenly Father.
Yeah.
And I don't have the price to pay for it.
Amen.
Amen. That's right.
So I'm in need of some of my brethren. Or near kinsmen,
right?
That can get me out of this debt, out of this state that I'm in, and you are too. Let's turn over to Ephesians chapter 1. Brother Paul and I were talking about this morning, a little bit, not about this particular subject, but we were talking about this portion of Scripture. In Ephesians chapter 1, this should be familiar to all of you, but I want to go back here. Then we'll go back into the Old Testament again, Lord willing, and look at some things that are laid out there. But he says, Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the will of God. Now, there's a brother today saying, pay attention to details. There's a detail. Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the will of God. God willed that he be an apostle. He was a man named Saul going about blaspheming and bringing death to the young Christian church, going with letters from Jerusalem to round them up. And when they brought them back to Jerusalem, he gave his testimony to their death.
Right.
He was responsible for them being put to death.
Yeah.
But God called him to be an apostle. I'll tell you, the thing that I would look for that today is, how many people do you know out there today that says, you know, I've done so many bad things. I just, you know, I'm not worthy to be anywhere around God's church. Well, I'll tell you, when God makes things right for you, it doesn't matter what you and I have done.
Amen.
He can take a Saul of Tarsus and make him one of the greatest speakers of the New Testament. Outside, of course, of our Lord, when we're looking at the apostles and the writers of the New Testament, God changed him around. So he says that's who's writing this letter to us. And he wrote it to the saints that are at Ephesus and to the faithful in Christ Jesus. That's us, I hope. Grace be to you and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ. Where our blessings are in Christ. Whether it's the atonement that he did on the cross, or whether it's being the Passover lamb, all of these things are blessings that are blessings to us in Christ.
Right.
And so, and with that, our salvation, of course. He says, we have all spiritual blessings. If you've been blessed here today, these blessings, ultimately, you ought to get down upon your knees and thank God for blessing us. Because their blessings are from God in Christ to us here tonight. And so he says that we have all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ, according as he hath chosen us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame or without accusation. In other words, nobody could accuse you, become your accuser, or blame you for anything because of what Christ, because of the fact we were chosen in Christ. Now, there's a beautiful picture I've told some folks a few years ago, that I like to think about. The Bible talks about when God created the first man, Adam. And Adam was called, and all the animals were paraded before him, and he named all of them. And God said, "There's nobody for Adam." Oh. And he says, "It's not good that man should be alone."
That's right.
So he caused a deep sleep to fall upon Adam, and he reached inside Adam's side, took a rib out of Adam, and from that rib he made the woman and brought her to the man. You just hold on to that. According as He hath chosen us in Him.
Amen.
Before the foundation of the world. Where was the bride of Christ before the foundation of the world? We were chosen in Him.
Amen. Right.
Our bride was just like the first Adam's bride. We were in that first bride, Eve, was inside Adam. And we, my friends, as God's people, were inside Christ. We were chosen in Him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before Him in love, having predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ unto Himself. According to the good pleasure of His will.
That's right. Yeah.
He adopted us. You know that Jesus Christ is the only begotten Son of the Father?
Right. Oh, yeah.
He had no other brothers, no other brothers and sisters, but He adopted a whole family.
Amen. Right.
And in doing that, He became our near kinsman.
Yes, sir.
Because we were adopted. He predestinated us. He determined before anything ever was. He predestinated us unto adoption of children by Jesus Christ. He did the adopting work according to the good pleasure of His will, to the praise of the glory of His grace, wherein He hath made us accepted in the Beloved, in whom we have redemption.
Amen.
Through His, if you know, I like the Bible, you know, the like the Bible about a lot. But you know, I look at it sometimes and say, you know, okay, the Bible is so hard to understand on certain things. Okay, we have redemption in Christ. If you don't understand what redemption means, in whom we have redemption, through His blood, the forgiveness of sins, according to the riches of His grace. We are redeemed by the blood of Jesus Christ, because that's the only price that was needed to be paid, and there was only one near kinsman. Let's turn over to the book of Ruth.
Yeah, right.
Ruth is all about redemption.
Amen.
We've got the people that are laid out there, and we'll try to get over and just at least look at just a minute of it. I've got to get back to the right place. All right. Joshua, Judges, Ruth. There we go. Ruth. Y'all ever sing that song? Okay, anyway. Helps you memorize the books of the Bible, right? So it's So during this time, Naomi was married to Elimelech, and Naomi and Elimelech lived in Bethlehem. Bethlehem, by the way, means house of bread. Wouldn't you know that the bread of life would end up being born in a city that's named the house of bread?
Right.
God does little stuff like that. Just see if you're paying attention. And so Naomi and Elimelech and their sons were living in Bethlehem, and there was a famine in the land. And so they decided they would leave the house of bread and they would go into Moab hunting for bread. I'll tell you, when you go into foreign countries looking for bread, there's always trouble.
Yes.
They leave the house of bread to go to another place to look for food. And as they get down there, the two boys, Mahlon and Chilion, both of them get married to Moabite girls. And while they're down there, Elimelech dies. Then both of the boys die. And Naomi's left without a man, and they've left their land back in Bethlehem, and they have nothing to go back to. Now, one of them was married to a young lady by the name of Ruth. The other one was married to a young lady by the name of Orpah. And Orpah decided she would stay home. Naomi told him, says, "I've got nothing. I don't have anything to offer you. And you'll be better off staying here with your family. Go back to your family where you belong." And Orpah said, "Okay." But not Ruth.
Right.
And the Bible says Ruth loved her mother-in-law.
Yeah.
My mother didn't have any girls. She was stuck with us two boys. She had one little daughter-in-law that loved her immensely and took care of her up to the time of her death. My wife. Ruth loved her mother-in-law, said, "Entreat me not to leave thee." Don't ask me to leave you. I'm going where you go, where your house, I'll house. Where you go, I'll go. And so they went back to Bethlehem. Well, they got back to Bethlehem. There's nothing there. There's no land for them. And so they began to... So Naomi told Ruth, said, "Ruth, what you need to do is go down. There's a kinsman of ours down there that has a field. You can go down there and glean in his fields. Take the leftovers." You know, that's what they did back in those days. Sometimes they would leave handfuls of purpose behind for those to glean. But, you know, Boaz noticed this young lady. Had to be something special about her. There was already something special because she went all the way with her mother-in-law. I know there was something special about this young lady. And she went there with her, and her mother-in-law sent her down to the fields of Boaz to glean from there so they would have something to eat. And Boaz noticed that she was there, and he told his servants, "You leave extra. You leave extra out there for this young lady. There's something special about her." Well, you know, he recognized her, but, you know, did he really know who she was? You know, probably not. I don't think the Bible indicates that. And Naomi gives Ruth instructions to... says when he lays down at night, she told her to clean up. "You get cleaned up. You've been out gleaning in the fields. And you get cleaned up and you put on some good clean clothes and you get to smelling good." and said when he gets done eating and he goes to lay down, said, "I want you to go in there and lay down, uncover his feet and lay down by him tonight." And she went there and she laid down next to him, and he woke up in the middle of the night. "There's somebody laying on my feet." there's somebody here that's joined together with me that I didn't know was here.
Yeah.
And he began to take notice of that fact. And so we'll, having summarized some of that, we'll turn over here. And so, you know, she began to talk to him, you know, about being the kinsman maybe that could help redeem them. And he says, "Well, there's a problem. There's a nearer kinsman than me."
Right.
And said, "Legally, by the law,
right,
the nearer kinsman is obligated to pay to redeem you. He's the one that's obligated to pay the price. So here's what I'll do. You know, I'll go see him and see him tomorrow and see what he'll do." And it says as we go through that, and I'll try to skip down through this chapter 4. It says, "And when Boaz went up to the gate..." So the next day he goes to the gate of the city. And it says, "He sat down there, and behold, the kinsman of whom Boaz spake came by, unto whom he said, 'Ho, such an one, turn aside. Sit down here.' And he turned aside, and he sat down, and he took 10 men of the elders of the city." He got him some witnesses.
Yeah.
He got it. Right. He sat in the gate of the city where everybody comes and passes through. He knew he would come by at some point. He came by and he says, "Okay, hey, come sit down. I need to talk to you about something. Hey, all you other guys gathered around too. I just want to have some folks here to hear what we're about to talk about." And he said unto the kinsman, "Naomi, that is come again out of the country of Moab, selleth a parcel of land which was our brother Elimelech's, and I thought to advertise thee, saying, 'Buy it before the inhabitants and before the elders of the people. If thou will redeem it, redeem it. But if thou wilt not redeem it, then tell me that I may know, for there is none to redeem it besides thee, and I am after thee.
Right.
And he saith, and he said, I will redeem it. Then said Boaz, what day thou buyest the field of the hand of Naomi, thou must buy it also of Ruth, the Moabitess, the wife of the dead, to raise up the name of the dead upon his inheritance. So
right.
if you buy the land from Naomi, then the daughter-in-law that came home with her, that has no seed, that has no child of this lineage of our brother Elimelech, you have to raise up seed to him also. And he says, the kinsman said, I cannot redeem it.
Yeah,
for myself, lest I mar mine inheritance, and redeem thou my right to thyself, for I cannot redeem it. Now, we know that in the days when somebody failed to do what they should do, they had to loose their shoe,
yeah,
and go through and proclaim that his shoe is loose. We get another picture there of our Lord coming, and John saying, he whose shoe is not worthy to be loosed.
Right.
I'm telling you, he's the kinsman redeemer,
yes,
who you can't say he wouldn't do his job, because you can't say his shoe is worthy to be unloosed, my friends.
Right.
He's not going through town saying, I won't do my job. He came to do it. So he says, a man plucked off his shoe and he gave it to his neighbor, and this was a testimony in Israel. And therefore the kinsman said unto Boaz, buy it for thee. So he drew off his shoe, and Boaz said unto the elders, to all the people, ye are witnesses this day that I have bought all that was Elimelech's, and all that was Chilion's and Mahlon's, and of the hand of Naomi. Moreover, Ruth the Moabitess, the wife of Mahlon, have I purchased to be my wife, to raise up the name of the dead upon his inheritance.
Yeah.
When the nearest kinsman wouldn't do his job, the nearest kinsman that had the price and was willing to do it,
right,
took the place.
Yes, sir.
And that's exactly what Boaz did. Now, you know, you find this kind of interesting. I heard Brother Paul making some comment today. So I forget who it was, the person in the Bible. And he says, oh, I said, man, I'd hate to have that carried along with my name, you know. Now, how would you like to be have Boaz's mother remembered in the Bible? You say, Boaz's mother, who is that? Rahab the harlot. A Gentile woman had this young man. This young man married this Moabitess, who was also a Gentile.
Yeah.
They had a child. That child had Jesse, I believe, is the right one. You go through, look at, and then David. You go right down the line, and these people, Rahab the harlot, the Moabitess that followed after, all ended up in the lineage of Jesus Christ.
Amen. That's right.
And here we have a story of redemption laying right in the middle of this great story.
Yes, sir.
That this woman was redeemed by her near kinsman. And here he tells us, as we've read over there in the book of Leviticus, that the near kinsman that had the price is the one that could come and purchase and redeem and pay back. And he tells us, as we were reading there in Ephesians, again, we'll turn back now to Ephesians chapter 1, if we can. Got to get the right direction on the book here. Get back to Ephesians chapter 1. He has predestinated us to the adoption of children. You know, you read that, and do you ever do this and say, well, why did he do that? If you don't understand what he was doing back in the Old Testament scriptures, and that he came not to destroy the law and the prophets,
amen,
but to fulfill it,
yes,
to
sir,
a jot and to a tittle, my friends. And all those things are back. You're looking at laws of redemption. I read that and go to sleep at night. Oh no, my friends, you better read that and see Jesus Christ raised up high on the hill, my friends, because he's the Redeemer. He's the King. He's the High Priest after the order of Melchizedek. He's the one that came and atoned for us and bought us and purchased us. And he says all of this was done to the praise of the glory of his grace, in whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of his grace, wherein he hath abounded toward us in all wisdom and prudence.
Right. Yep.
You think God didn't know what he was doing?
Amen. That's right.
All wisdom and prudence was displayed in every act, every step along the way.
Amen.
And he came to fulfill it to a jot, having made known unto us the mystery of his will, according to his good pleasure, which he hath purposed in himself,
that
in the dispensation of the fullness of times he might gather together in one all things in Christ, both which are in heaven, which are on the earth, even in him.
Right.
That he might gather it all together, Jew and Gentile, Old Testament, New Testament,
yeah,
all redeemed by the great Redeemer, the only near kinsman that had the price. The only one that could possibly please the Father was Christ, the Redeemer. And he says, even whom we have obtained, in whom also we've obtained an inheritance, being predestinated according to the purpose of him who worketh all things after the counsel of his own will.
Amen.
He works his will in the armies of heaven and among the inhabitants of the earth, and none can stay his hand or say to him, what doest thou?
Right.
He does what he pleases, and what he pleases is right.
Amen.
And if he chose to adopt a people, if he chose a people before the foundation of the world to be his adopted family, and to fully have them as his family, his begotten son, his only begotten son, it became necessary for him to go to the cross and die and become the Passover lamb, fulfilling the law in another way. My friends, he did it for you and me.
Amen.
Amen.
In whom we've obtained an inheritance, being predestinated according to the purpose of him who worketh all things. All of this. We go back and look, right? God had a purpose.
Yes.
God had a purpose all the way down through the line. He chose Abraham and gave a family a husband and a wife that were not capable of having a child. He gave them an Isaac. Yeah. He gave them an Isaac. And the Bible says that we brethren are like Isaac was, promised children.
Amen.
Just like Isaac was a promised child to Abraham and Sarah, you and I are promised seed this morning of our Lord Savior Jesus Christ. And he redeemed us and he bought us that we should be to the praise of his glory who first trusted in Christ.
Amen.
In whom ye also trusted after ye heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom after ye believed, ye were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise.
Right.
You know, believing does something for you.
It does.
My friend, it's not going to redeem you.
No.
It's not going to atone for you. It's not going to pay the debt that you couldn't pay, but I'll tell you what believing will do. It'll seal you with the Holy Spirit of promise that will give you assurance down in your soul that the Jesus you read about, the Redeemer you read about, actually came and accomplished salvation for you and me.
Amen. Right.
You know, there's nothing like having, you know, I preached a sermon back a number of years ago that said, you know, people was talking about how important belief was. I said, you know, everybody believes something.
That's right.
Mm-hmm.
That's right.
That's right.
Everybody believes something. If belief is so important, which belief is most important?
Yep.
Everybody believes something about Christ.
Yeah, they do.
It's all something different, but you better go back and see what does God's Word say. He says, in whom ye also trusted after you heard the word of truth, the gospel of salvation, in whom also after you believed, you were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise, which is the earnest of our inheritance.
Amen.
Which is the earnest. What you and I have now is just a little down payment.
Amen.
On what we're going to enjoy. Amen. One of these days. It's just the earnest of our inheritance until the redemption of the purchased possession.
Right.
Unto the praise of his glory. You know what? When Christ redeemed us on the cross, he didn't just redeem my spirit and my soul, he redeemed
right.
my body.
Yes, sir.
He bought the whole package.
Right.
As ugly as it was.
Amen.
He bought the whole thing. And one of these days, he's going to redeem the purchased possession.
Yes, sir.
He's going to raise it up from the grave. He's going to be a new glorified body.
Right.
we were talking today, you know, and said, how's he going to do that? So I don't know. I don't know how he raised up but took the dust of the earth and made the first man. I don't know how he did, and I don't have to know for it to be so.
That's right.
What I need to do is believe it, because there's a lot of comfort, and I get a sealing from the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
That passes all understanding. He came to redeem us, and he fulfilled the laws of redemption right down to the jot and to the tittle.
Amen.
That's just one more thing he did.
Right. Amen.
You know, I haven't even touched it all. I haven't begun to touch it all. But when he said in those two little verses over there that I came not to destroy the law and the prophets, but to fulfill. Man, there's a mouthful in all of that. And I hope to spend what little time I may have left, it continue to explore on it and preach it to God's people. May God bless you.
Amen.
Our prayer.
Amen. Oh, for 1,000 come to sing my great Redeemer's praise. The glories of our recording King, the triumphs of His grace.
I love you, friends. God bless you.